Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. It's draft day, finally, and the Cam Ward era for the Titans, we think, begins tonight. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Bruce Feldman from The Athletic. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good to be on with you.
Good to have you on with us. Appreciate you taking time to do so. So, Bruce, as we said, it feels like the Cam Ward era gets started today for the Tennessee Titans. So as you've talked with people, as you've watched him, as you've gathered information throughout this entire process here, as we sit here today, what should Titans fans be most excited about with him and what he brings to the table, and what's maybe the biggest area of concern with Cam Ward as he steps into the NFL?
The stuff I think people really love about him, including the guys who coached him, is he's super competitive. He's got real leadership qualities, and he's a playmaker who has high, high level arm talent. Like, he can make any throw, you know, any arm angle, just has a, you know, a really, really high level ability to make plays, and he's fearless. And I think those things are stuff that people should get excited about. The downside, the one downside with him, I think, is just he can be reckless with the football. There is so much gunslinger in him. There is times, especially I remember watching him last year, early when he got to Miami, you'd watch him and it looked like he was so nonchalant out there just because he has so much confidence in himself. But I think, to me, there is a big gap between him and the other quarterback prospects in this draft. Like, I think he's a legitimate top 10 caliber pick who plays quarterback and happened to be a need there. I think it's wishful thinking on if you're going to try to convince yourself that Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart or whoever would be a guy you want to spend a top 10 pick on. It doesn't surprise me that Cam Ward could be a guy who could be the first pick in the draft with his talent set.
Yeah, and Bruce, in your piece here, it was extensive, talking to a lot of people at the NFL Draft Confidential. One of the quotes that really stuck to me on Ward was, top 10 stroke in the league immediately. I mean, that's saying something on the arm talent. On the intangibles, I mean, it seems like he has a great story. Obviously, he had to overcome being like a zero-star recruit, kept getting better and better. What about just like leading an NFL locker room and all those intangibles that are so important at quarterback?
That's the biggest, the biggest thing that the Miami coaches who got him last year could not stop raving about when he got there. Shannon Dawson, the offensive coordinator at Miami, has done a really good job there. And they had previous guys who were, had some ability. Tyler Van Dyke was did some good things. I was going to say he was a fairly talented college quarterback, but they did not have anybody who had the big A-plus leadership skills at that position. It was sorely lacking. And from the moment Cam Ward got there, they were just blown away by what they saw and how teammates responded to him, how he kind of poured into teammates, but what comes out of them on the field in terms of the competitiveness and that kind of character. Now, they didn't make the playoff last year because their defense was really bad, but without him, they're probably a 7-win team last year, maybe not even that. And I think he made Miami nationally relevant last year again. A lot of that was his talent. And as you said, his story, you have a guy who, was running an offense that there was just not enough reps of him seeing him play quarterback at what he was going to be asked to do in college. He tore it up at Incarnate Word in San Antonio, then went to Washington State and did a lot of good things without that much talent around him. And then last year, Miami school record for touchdown passes. And even with some of the reckless play, it wasn't like he was through 20 picks. I mean, he had 7 interceptions. I'm sure there was a bunch that probably should have been picked off that were dropped. But I just think it's not just the physical tools. Again, the guys at Miami, and this is long before the draft process started, just could not stop raving about what he brought to them in terms of a competitiveness and a leadership thing. He's definitely got that in him.
So, Bruce, sticking with the quarterbacks, like one of the most intriguing things to me in this draft is going to be when and where Jalen Milroe end up going. And like I look at him, you watch his athletic ability. He's got a huge arm, the ability to throw the deep ball. He's probably, in my opinion, a guy that needs to sit and develop. But what do you make of him, and how is he viewed, do you think, when it comes to the NFL and what he could be?
I think he is a developmental guy. I mean, he is blazing fast. I mean, we all watched a lot of SEC football, and there were times where he just ran away from fast guys, you know, and he's a different kind of athlete playing quarterback than most of the top quarterbacks who have come out. You know, obviously Jaden Daniels can run. I think this guy's even faster than Jaden Daniels, and he's bigger. And he's got a big arm. It's just the accuracy and the consistency part you worry about if you're going to say, hey, how much better can he get at that? But there's a lot of stuff he can do where I think they can build around him. And it's just a question of where does he go? Do they have a package for him? Because of the running ability is so special. You know, I would not put him in the category of like Lamar Jackson was obviously a phenomenal player when he came out of Louisville, and it's been a great fit for him with the Ravens. I don't know if I don't think he's as ready or as polished or as developed a playmaker and as a passer. The running part is, I think it's there. I think it's at that level, but you worry about, you know, you guys saw it. Like when he played Tennessee last year, he was bad. There was games where he was bad, and there was some games where he looked like a Heisman, where it's just like wildly inconsistent. But you know, knowing Kalen DeBoer and some of the people at Alabama, they really speak highly of his work ethic. So at least you feel like with the work ethic there, he's very intelligent on and off the field. You think that you can get it out of him. It just may take 2 or 3 years. And usually for the guys like that, you know, back in the older days, I want to say like, you know, 20 plus years ago, you could take quarterbacks like that and say, all right, we're not worried about playing them anytime soon. And, you know, in terms of like to be the guy to run the offense. And I think that's the way you got to approach it with him now.
Yeah, he's going to be fascinating because if you're going to go with him at some point, you have to build everything around what he does great. But if he can find that consistency, man, he could be so much fun to watch in this league. Bruce, you wrote about receivers and how it's a very deep class, but maybe not stars in this class. One guy who's of particular interest here, just because he might be there at 35, is Luther Burden. I mean, I never would have guessed for most of this year that he would be, you know, that he would fall out of the first round, but it looks like that's possible. What do you think about him? And I guess, do you feel like this is a class where you can go pretty deep and find a good player that may not be all that different from some of the guys going in the second round?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate, Joe. Like, obviously, he was a huge recruit when he went to Mizzou, and he did really well and had a big 2023. Last year kind of tailed off, and people did wonder about some of that production. He gets compared to Debo, and this has been the case from the moment he got there. He got compared a lot to Debo Samuel because he's so good with the ball in his hands and, you know, maybe not as polished a route runner. The guy who NFL receivers coaches told me, as I mentioned in the confidential piece, is more the guy they think is like Debo Samuel is Savion Williams, who's a bigger receiver from TCU who they used in the Wildcat, and he's also really unpolished and raw. I mean, Luther Burden's one guy. If you ask me, like, who's somebody who maybe you're not as high on as some of the, you know, mock drafts have been, I would say Luther Burden kind of fits in that mode to me. I think there's guys in that range of, you know, who will be much more productive receivers. You know, it's just a matter of, like, you're hoping somebody falls to you there. I mean, you have two really good receivers who played at Iowa State. Different, you know, 1'6", 4". The other one's a slot who's like 5'10", 195, super strong, but both are really explosive. I think those guys, you know, could be better fits. Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. Trey Harris, another guy who tore it up in the SEC, former high school quarterback. I actually think Trey Harris might be a better fit in terms of that. Just got a lot of stuff you really like in terms of his playmaking ability. It was an unconventional offense that he was kind of, it was more like the Tennessee offense, to be honest, an old Baylor offense that they were running there. I think he's a really good player who could be around at that spot. Kyle Williams from Washington State, super quick, very versatile, not as big as Burden, but I think he's much more polished. He's another one that I think will go somewhere in that range.
So, Bruce, the conversation around Travis Hunter obviously is fascinating. I mean, you had somebody, a passing coordinator, throwing out Justin Jefferson at receiver. I think he's going to be one of the greatest cornerbacks in NFL history, and it seems like more people that you've talked to probably lean toward defense. But how do you think it turns out for him? Like, is he actually going to be a legitimate two-way player in this league?
I mean, it's kind of unfathomable that you can do it both ways, practice it, develop. I'm with you what you said. I think he can be one of the best cornerbacks we've seen in the last 25 years. You know, I think he is that special in terms of the ball skills, the instincts, the ability to change a direction, body control. He's football smart. I'm not saying he can't be a terrific receiver. I just think he can impact the game and separate himself. There are so many elite receivers in the NFL. Obviously, Justin Jefferson's one of them. It feels like there's about 8 of them or 10 of them. It does not feel like that with cornerbacks. And again, the guys I talk to, and I think for people who read in the piece, one of the things really interesting to me is their feeling is like there's a DB coach who makes this analogy about how to play cornerback in the NFL, it's a lot like being a starting pitcher, and you have to almost like paint the whole picture. It's not like, you know, being a closer where you can just come in and dabble in it and make a couple of big plays and come in on third down. And the more people I talked to felt, you know what, it'd be best if he was the guy at corner and then maybe play, you had a package for him on offense. I don't think he wants that right now, but he doesn't know until, he did stuff nobody has ever been able to do at such a high level. You know, playing both ways, playing 130 snaps. You know, to me, I do the freaks list every year. The freakiest thing about him is his gas tank and the ability to make amazing plays and still be, looks like, the first play of the game, the 130th play of the game. You know, that's rare, and he's always been able to do it. So why would he not think he can't do it in the NFL? Because he's always proved people wrong everywhere he went. But again, the NFL is a different deal than anything he's ever seen. I think eventually he will become that cornerback and then play some on offense, because we just haven't seen anybody do it in the NFL to any extent, like since Roy Green, and it was such a different era. That Roy Green era was like 40 years ago. You know, it's just a different time. And there's been, obviously, Champ Bailey, Charles Woodson. There's been a lot of high-level two-way guys over the years. I mean, there's plenty of elite athletes who want to do it. I just don't think it's realistic these days.
Well, Bruce, you're always really kind with your time. We know it's a busy time of year, and appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Bruce Feldman, Bruce, from The Athletic, our guest on Robbie and Rex Roll. We'll react to what Bruce had to say and take a look at tonight's draft beyond Cam Ward and the Titans. What kind of draft could we see? Who's going to slide? Who goes maybe a little higher than we think? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It's time for the 4th annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura. Cromwell Media, along with Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us, a few guest media members, athletes, musicians, as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Appreciate Bruce Feldman for being with us. As Ian pointed out during the break, pretty good stuff there from Feldman on Ward. Ward, if you missed it, he had his draft confidential the other day at the Athletic. And some pretty high praise in that for Cam Ward in terms of the talent that he's got. You brought up a quote from that article talking about, you know, his arm talent, the stroke that he's got, being top 10 in the NFL like immediately as he walks in with just the ability that he's got there. So some pretty good stuff there from Feldman on Ward. The read that I've gotten from Bruce throughout this entire thing is he thinks Cam Ward's got a chance to be pretty good at the NFL level.
Yeah, I thought that one, that quote in particular, the top 10, let me get the exact quote here from, and I want to make sure I have who exactly said this, not name-wise, but it's a passing game coordinator. So Cam's stroke is top 10 in the league immediately. His arm talent is ridiculous, end quote. Again, also he goes on to say there's still a lot of growth for him. You know, depends on the scheme fit, mental development, all this stuff. So, all those things you hear. But another person said, Cam last year, we talk a lot about the comparison, right? Like he's ranked right around 12, 13, 15, whatever, among overall prospects in this draft. And how, in previous drafts he would have been way down the list. This, here's a scouting director who says, if this year's Cam would have been last year's Cam, he would have gone in the top 12. I think he would have gone in the top 12. He has a lot of arm, a lot of pure arm talent. Clean slate with injuries. I like how he's wired. So, again, the things that I think are the most – obviously, the arm talent is great. That's great to have. I still – personally, I value like a Shedeur Sanders type of arm talent, which is – It is gonna hit the spot over and over again, even if he can't make the insane throws. I value the consistent accuracy over the crazy throws. It's great if you can have both. You want both. You want Matthew Stafford, who has insane arm talent and also consistently is accurate. But it's a good place to start. And I think another thing is like the stuff about him leading the team that Bruce talked about. I mean, that's good. That's important. Do those things matter the most? We just had a guy in here who has a lot of arm talent, is a top athlete, and frankly a better athlete than Cam Ward, and also was a leader who his teammates immediately loved him and voted him captain at Kentucky, and none of it mattered, because he didn't play well enough, and also because the everything around him was crap. Yep. And that's probably among my biggest concerns for Cam Ward making it is what he's coming into.
I'm going to get Tyler Lockett now. It's fine.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. Scrap everything I just said.
All right, so we know Cam Ward's going number one tonight to the Titans. I think beyond that and beyond probably the first three or four picks, which, Travis Hunter's probably going to Cleveland, I think this has a chance to be a pretty wild draft tonight. Dane Brugler and others agree. I'm reading the last line of the intro paragraph to Brugler's latest mock draft, which came out this morning, says – I want chaos, and there's a good chance we're going to get it this year in the draft. Now, I brought up Brugler, and I bring him up specifically for a purpose. Who could slide this year? What could we be looking at tonight in the first round? Well, Brugler came out with his latest mock draft about an hour ago. And you know who's not in the first round of his latest mock draft? Shedeur Sanders is not in the first round of his latest mock draft. He's got Cam Ward at number one. He's got the only other quarterback that is taken in the first round here is the Giants trading back up into the first round and landing Jackson Dart at 26. He's got Sanders out of the first round.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, look, there's some people who think none of these quarterbacks should go in the first round. The Dart thing's interesting too with the Giants because apparently their GM's kid put together – you see this?
Yeah.
Put together like a highlight reel of him on like IG, and then he deleted it. Like he knows they're taking Jackson Dart. Oh boy,
fart for Dart.
Yes.
I like Sharford Art better. But, yeah, the thing is, like, you can't, if that's your plan is to trade back up for him, how do you, you know, you can't guarantee or anything, unless you're planning to take him with your top pick.
Yeah.
Which would be quite a stunner, man. But, yeah, I mean, look, Shadur falling out of the first round, I don't think that's the craziest thing. I mean, Cam Ward being the only quarterback to go in the first round, I don't think it's the craziest thing. And also I could see, like, a few teams getting in late in that first round, and all of a sudden we end up with, like, five, but it's a bunch of them on a late run in the first round.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that part of it plays out tonight. So we'll get into that next. Who could slide in the draft? Who could go a little bit higher than maybe we think in the first round coming up tonight? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on the Game Nashville Sports Network. Today, we are going to be live from Twin Peaks in Madison and tomorrow from Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar in East Nashville. Coverage beginning at 6 o'clock each day. Presented by Hardee's, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Twin Peaks, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Shane Co., and Professional Home Improvements. Today, we're going to be on 102.5 The Game. Stilly will be out there for his show, and then the draft show starts at 6 o'clock Friday on Sports Talk, 8:30 as well. So Joe Rexrode will be a part of that tomorrow, coming up at Boom Boss in East Nashville. So looking forward to that.
That's right. That's right. So interesting. You know, you get some interesting commentary on the whole Cam thing. I got a texture saying NFL executives way higher on Cam than media. Outside of Bruce, Bob McGinn also interviewed a bunch of NFL people that are overwhelmingly positive on Cam. There are NFL executives who are not, too. There are NFL executives who, again, there's one who has said he's not a first rounder. So, I mean, look, I think there's more positive than not on Cam Ward, which is part of why he's going number one, right? He's the consensus top quarterback. But then we also have somebody saying, why are you guys, you know, well, you guys are gassing him up. Were you trying to make people feel better? Yesterday we were accused of, you know, just trashing him. I mean, yeah.
It's all in the eye of the beholder.
And it's just, we're just really like relaying.
But doesn't that kind of tell you?
A variety of opinions.
What you just said kind of tells you what I think the truth is. You know, yesterday people were all over us about being too much of a hater of Cam Ward. And today we're being like, you guys are gassing up Cam Ward, right, trying to get the Titans ready for it. It's like, well, that's kind of what this is. Like, there are people that love Cam Ward in the NFL, and there are people that don't really understand why he would be going number one. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. And I don't know where what it's actually going to play out as, but that's our job is to present to you what we think and what we know right now.
Yeah, and again, like, the one of the biggest problems here is that he's almost for sure going to start right away. He's starting for an as yet unproven coach who may have a short timeline. And he's starting for a team that has the worst roster in the NFL. So it's just a bad starting point for him on this, you know, on top of the questions just about him that are fair.
Yeah.
But look, he has a lot of talent. He has the talent. He has the potential to do it, to make it. I mean, it certainly, it's possible. I'm not going to be shocked out of my mind if he turns into a great player. It's just you look at everything, including him and what he's coming into, and he's got a lot of challenges.
There's no doubt. I mean, this is a roster right now that's rough, and this is not – look, I even last year, right, like Caleb Williams went number one overall. Go look at the roster and the situation that Chicago had compared to the Titans right now. Like, again, Chicago did not have a great year last year, and frankly, they're a bad organization. So they tend to get in their way a lot. But, I mean, roster-wise, that team is in a better spot than the Titans are in right now. I don't think there's any question about it. Like, go back and look at it. So there's a lot of work to be done left for the Titans, and Cam Ward does not have, at the moment, the tools around him that he's going to eventually need to have if he's going to succeed in this league. So with that in mind, looking at the draft, tools that you can continue to add to the table if you're the Titans throughout the process here. As we enter into just tonight, the first round, who are some guys that are maybe the most intriguing to you as to whether they could either fall or maybe they move up and get drafted higher than people think heading into the first round tonight. Where does that list kind of start with you?
Well, obviously the quarterbacks, you know, Shedeur Sanders, top 10, second round, somewhere in between. He's a big – but all the quarterbacks, of course. You know, it's Jackson Dart. I'm not a huge Jackson Dart fan, but, you know, I can see some – I mean, it seems like the Giants seem to be in love with him. Now, if the GM's kids IG thing is all part of a ruse, tip cap to the Giants, man. How about that? Well, that'd be a lot of fun. Tyler Shuck, yeah. Okay, you know, I mean, the Milroe thing is super fascinating. The Milroe thing is very fascinating. But beyond the quarterbacks, I mean, Tet McMillan for sure is one of those guys who could be all over the map here. Ashton Jeanty, is he going to actually, you know, get down to, again, people are talking about like the Bears would snatch him up at 10, you know? Is he going to get to 10? I think that's crazy. Are the Jags going to take him?
No.
I think Jeanty is going to be great. But, you know, he is a running back, and so he could bounce around. Tyler Warren is another guy, you know, like is he so good that he's a top 10 pick, or is he more like a mid to later teens guy? I've seen him kind of all over the place. Those are some that come to mind immediately.
Tet McMillan's mine. Where is McMillan going to go? Because there's a popular thought, and I could see this, like that he's probably not getting past 12, which is where Dallas is. So Dallas needs a wide receiver. Now, they could go Golden. If they went Matthew Golden, then what's the next logical spot for McMillan after that? Like, Seattle definitely needs a receiver, right? I mean, Metcalf's gone. Lockett's gone. They've got Smith and Jigba there, but they need a receiver. So I would imagine that at 18, Seattle's probably taking a receiver. But McMillan's interesting. Like, how do people view him? Like, if you're the Seahawks, how do you view him? If you're the Cowboys, is he unquestionably your guy, given the size that he brings to the table? I think he's going to be really fascinating here. I mean, look, at this point, a guy that I don't really think is going to go in the first round based on what we've heard, unless it's at the very, very end of it. Like, at this point, I'd probably be stunned if James Pierce is going anywhere before 32. Just because that seems like a very Philadelphia thing to do. But other than that, like I don't think he's going to go tonight. Like just based on the reporting around that. So we'll see on that front. Another guy that's going to be really interesting, and I think Brugler lays this out really well. What about Shamar Stewart? We talked about him a lot yesterday. He's got all the traits that you're looking for. He's got almost zero production. I mean, we talked about it. He had 4.5 sacks at Texas A&M in 3 years. Not in 1 year. Over 3 years. He had 4.5 sacks. So it's basically zero production with the traits that he brings to the table. You know, Brugler's got him at 27 to Baltimore in his latest mock and says, though, he could probably go as early as 9 to the Saints or fall to the end of the first round. He would be one that would scare the crap out of me if I'm one of these teams. And I understand the traits, but there's no production to back it up, and that makes me very nervous.
Yeah, no, he's very interesting. Yeah, so we're looking here at, and he's the guy who, like, he'll go later than the traits would suggest, and then he'll go to a really good team, and then he'll be great. You know, that's what I would guess. You know, like if he does here go like to the Ravens, I could see all of a sudden he's gonna have like a 12 sack rookie year, and everybody's gonna laugh. Oh yeah, you cared about it. But, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, production should matter, right? Wait, what does that say? What does it mean? Some people have said, yeah, but if you really watch the film, I mean, he won a lot. It just sometimes you just don't end up getting the sack. But, man, it's a long time to have that little production. He's a really interesting player. James Pierce is, again, Brugler. His latest thing here is just his first here. But I know his last one, he had him in the 50s.
Yeah.
He's way more talented than that. I mean, he's way more talented. He's absolutely a first-round talent. But obviously, whether it's more of like what people talked about at Tennessee, or if it's more like just his interviewing, boy, is he an example of how that stuff can really impact somebody.
Yep. And then there's a couple more intriguing guys here. Like, does Igbuka go in the first round. Like we talk about guys being potentially available at 35 for the Titans. Like I feel like Igbuka out of Ohio State is going to be a really solid pro. I don't know that he's going to be, you know, a superstar wide receiver or anything like that, but I feel like he's going to be pretty reliable at the next level. So when you get towards the back part of the first round, does somebody really take a chance there on him?
So he's a safe pick. He's a high floor guy.
I agree with that.
And that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a high floor guy. But I think that's a big thing that I took away from like Bruce's piece he was talking about with us is like it is a low star receiving group, which to me is like if that's the case, you know, I feel like maybe it makes more sense if you are picking at 35 to go edge, and then if you have to wait until the fourth, you might still get a pretty good player there. Like the depth at receiver is really good, but it is like who's going to be a star? I mean, Matthew Golden could be.
Yeah.
But like he's probably the most exciting player at receiver. You think about previous classes and receivers at the top of the draft, way more dynamic than this group.
And strictly from a Titans standpoint tonight, you know, obviously your pick is going to be done first. So you're out of the way. We know what that's going to be. There's still a lot of time left in the draft tonight. So not that I think the Titans are going to trade back up or anything like that, but one thing that I'd be keeping an eye on is at the end of the first round, is there a run on quarterback? If there's a run on quarterback, that's good for you because that means there's more edge rushers and wide receivers available at 35. The other side of that, is there a run on wide receiver or edge rusher? Because if there's a run on that at the end of the first round, those are less of those that are going to be available at 35. Or, like, let's say there's a big run on receiver at the end of the first round. Well, you're going to have some pretty good edge options available for you at 35 at that point.
The
back part of the first round is really worth paying attention to tonight if you're a Titans fan.
I almost feel like, for the Titans' sake, if there's an edge or if there's a run on edge or receiver and the run on quarterback doesn't happen until early in the second, that might be your chance to get out of there. So you might lose who you wanted to pick, and you might have someone who wants to get to 35 to get their QB, and it might end up benefiting you overall.
Does Will Levis get traded tonight?
I think before the weekend.
Okay.
I think before the weekend he gets traded.
Okay. Before the weekend, yep. Will Levis traded.
Before the weekend's over, sorry. Right. Not before the weekend. You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad is coming up next. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds will play two against the Durham Bulls today at First Horizon Park. Pre-game at 5:20, first pitch for game one will be at 5:35. Coverage also available at the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
He said, and he's not even that good.
Jared wants it to be, yeah, he's had this huge bump from Deion, and now the football people are saying, no, no. I mean, dude, get out of the Ewok village and live in the real freaking world.
I'm going to come in here. I got 16 hot takes I'm going to go over today. He's a TV prospect, Joe.
The Super Soaker 50. Just pump up our powerful air pressure system, and you can soak someone up to 50 feet away. The Super Soaker 50.
Do you really want to sit on somebody else's wet or dry butt juice? Real ones don't wipe.
It's that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Hey, the Super Soaker 50, man. 50 feet. That's a heck of a shot. Good stuff.
I say a lot of smart stuff, and luckily we record it all, so it's good to have that archive of...
Ian's having a lot of fun with this. I like it. Look at him in there.
Lots of fodder. Lots of fodder for Ian. But the last of the Super Soaker thing, that's appropriate. I'll just tell you a little bit about my day yesterday. I went and got some shots up at the park. Came home. Yep, came home and... I pulled in the driveway, and right after I pulled in the driveway, my son pulled in the driveway, but he didn't get out of the car. Well, there was a car behind him. right behind him, had apparently been following him for who knows how long and followed him all through the neighborhood and right to our driveway. So I got out of the car, looked at him. He's just sitting there. Looked behind him. It's a car full of high school girls who have water guns. And, you know, they're kind of laughing and, you know, they're kind of like taunting him and yelling at him. Like, okay, this is kind of fun. But it really, like, if it was the first thing that I'd encountered with this whole thing, I would have maybe thought it was fun. But I just kind of looked at him like, really? So then I went inside. And then, you know, we were standing there. First of all, he, Brennan, is screaming, I need a charger! Because his phone was dead so that he could charge his phone so he could call his teammates in this stupid Assassins game that needs to be banned from society and have them come with their squirt guns to, I guess, like, give him cover so he could come into his home and have dinner. So went to get a charger, and as he started to put the window down, they immediately, you know, came to the car, you know. Finally got the charger in there, then sat there. Every once in a while checked on him. He's just sitting in the car waiting for his phone to charge, watching him, and then finally these girls start toilet papering the car. My car.
Yeah.
Toilet papering. It's raining, so it's a nice mix of mushy toilet paper. Then they start taking every can and bottle from their car and just putting it on top of, again, my car.
You got to do something about these kids. Can I say that this is the dedication here? This has gone well beyond my level of dedication as a high schooler.
Well, like, it's a gambling ring.
We would do something for like 2 days, and then we're like, all right, let's move on to the next thing. This is an ongoing process here. It's kind of impressive that they're sticking with it this long.
Well, I mean, they've put in this money so that it's like $400-some per team member on the winning team. That's a gambling ring. That's illegal, and I'm calling the feds in to shut this down. So finally, after like, I don't know, an hour and a half, they finally leave, and he runs into the garage, okay? And then I get to go out in the pouring rain and get all the toilet paper and other crap off my car. So then I got word this morning, about to come out to go to school, but don't worry. There was a whole bunch of people outside my home with their squirt guns. You can't even go to school anymore.
It's absurd.
It's enough of this crap. And, I mean, like, at some point, you know, it's like the get off my lawn. Like, it's going to get real, okay? And I'm going to go – well, I'm not going to go all Clint Eastwood on you. I'm a Dirty Harry. But I'm going to go all, like
– just get the water hose.
Yeah, like, there's going to be some kind of deterrent for kids who don't live at my home, who want to crowd around my home and you know, do this stuff. Like, I'm sorry, but like, it's enough. It's enough of this stuff.
Ricky says you're a narc. Got one texter says the girls are just flirting with your son, Joe. It's okay. Dylan says sounds like
do it at school.
Sounds like Joe's a hater because he never got chased around by cars full of girls in high school. This is from Dylan in Antioch.
Yeah, hey man, I'm telling you, like. That's all fine. Like, this is ridiculous. Rebecca says, I feel your pain, Joe. My daughter is in the middle of this right now. Teenagers lurking in the shrubs to tag my kid. Whoever, again, I don't, I'm sure this obviously has happened. People have told me they had their experiences. This whole thing is like, I'm about to sell him out. I'm like about to seriously go into and sell out his whole team and get them eliminated so we can start living our life again. So that's probably next, right? Like, what other, like, other than actually having the feds come in or the police come in and, like, shut this down, I think I may just have to sell them out.
Our big thing was junior-senior wars in high school, where we just, like, you did pranks between the junior class and the senior class.
That's cool.
That ended when somebody poured Sprite in somebody's car, gas tank.
Oh, my God. So. Yeah, some of that stuff can go far.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one. Yeah, some of that stuff can go too far.
Let's go take the Sprite and pour it in the gas tank. That'll go great. Sure, that won't screw anything up.
Let's blow up someone's house.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things NFL draft with him as we are now about 11 hours away from the beginning of the draft. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.